everyone. Welcome to the House of Neshama podcast. Neshama being the Hebrew word for soul. My hosts Ariel Rahel and me, Isabiza, have so much in store for y'all. Our beautifully chaotic energy shines through like no other Jewish household. Just picture this. Two Jewish 20-somethings meet in Portland. And what do we share? Our stories. Kvetch and complain about the struggles of others not understanding us and not understanding ourselves and navigating our worlds from which we are already divided, as well as making it through by building our own communities and our own relationship to Judaism. Yep, it's all here and raw. So if there's any content warning here, it's that we're laying out our experiences for y'all to hear. Hello everyone, you have entered the house of Neshama, and we are so glad you are here.
This podcast is hosted by me, Isabiza.
And me, Ariel Rachel. And for those of you who don't know us, we just wanted to share a little bit about who we are. So again, my name is Ariel Rachel, but many know me as Amanda Peckler, and I am a multimedia producer, editor, and maker of sorts. A proud Italian Jewish girl hailing from New York, a daughter, sister, friend, and a harpist. I'm really passionate about using these multimedia tools for things like social justice, collective healing, and reimagining this world that we live in, especially when it's our beautiful and multifaceted Jewish community.
Well, I'm Isa. People know me as Isa Pisa too. I'm a queer Mexican and Jewish multimedia journalist, raised in Seattle, soon to be moving to the Big Apple, which is exciting. I'm absolutely inspired to write and produce stories about marginalized communities and individuals holding multiple cultural identities at once, something I can really relate with. When I'm not doing journalist things, I'm taking portraits of drag queens, low-key, painting, and reading everyone's astrology chart at brunch.
So Isa, tell the people, how did we get here?
I think it's when we first met. Thought seedling that would turn into Neshama was born out of the beautifully chaotic adventures we spent together. It was in the summer of 2017 in Portland.
Yes.
We both attended this documentary and film intensive called Media Institute for Social Change. MISC.
Yes, no, we mustn't forget.
Yeah, and we were packed into this van of 12 fellow college students from across the country making our way Oregon coast. No introductions, just in a van with a bunch of strangers. But on the way there, we realized we really clicked. We realized we shared a mutual friend.
Now a nemesis, I suppose.
And instantly bonded through our talking about shared experiences about being Jewish in non-Jewish spaces and longing to find a Jewish community that we could see ourselves in.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we were very curious about each other and our stories. So we partnered up to make a short film called Seeds of Change. And that's when our friendship and film marriage was born.
Yes, and just to share a little bit with you guys, Seeds of Change explores the world of Salma Bashir, who is a Palestinian and Mexican Muslim woman and also incredible and amazing student ambassador for the organization called the Muslim Educational Trust. And they're over in Portland, Oregon. And certainly one thing that brings two people together is making a short film with no budget in a completely brand new city, and just doing our best out there.
We even had to pay for our $50 Uber each way.
Can you believe?
That's crazy.
Crazy.
We have upgraded since then.
I hope so. We hope we have leveled up for all of you.
And after 4 years, and many long-distance calls and confession sessions later, we decided to team up again to delve into these complex and honest conversations that we feel are needed within the Jewish community.
Yes, so please stay tuned for all of that and more. And also, yeah, our first interview is coming up next. We hope you enjoy.
Hi everyone. Real quick, I just want to tell you about my longtime project, Neshama, the Jewish Soul. It is an ongoing interactive documentary and living, breathing archive that takes a deeply intimate dive into Jewish womanhood in the United States. Told from the voices of Jewish women themselves across a variety of racial, ethnic, and Judaic backgrounds, it's a place for you to hear the unique and eclectic stories, journeys, and perspectives on that crucial topic of what it means to be a Jewish woman. You can see some of the stories featured by visiting neshama.amandapeckler.com. And if you're interested in participating and simply learning more, send us an email at neshama.interact@gmail.com. All right, back to the episode.
To dive into this interview today, so Issa, please, so tell us about the distant land, because I'm a New Yorker, of Seattle, and just, yeah, what that was like growing up.
Yeah. Well, the distant land of the Emerald City, Seattle, yes. it really is an isolated place, but during my lifetime, it's grown into a really big and relevant city in the United States. I would say, in terms of my Jewishness, like, it's definitely, it has a Jewish population that has been here for 100+ years, but, you know, mostly very, like, intellectual. My dad was actually, his family was a part of that German immigrant group who came, and they, it was really interesting to hear how there really was, the German Jews came here first, and then the Eastern Europeans Europeans came here second, kind of. But yeah, there was definitely like cultural clashes between the two Jews, and so there really is it's interesting to hear how, and that's where I learned there's two different experiences, or there's not even two different experiences, but like, because, you know, there are Spanish Jews, there are, you know, Mizrahi Jews, Sephardi Jews, and I think that's kind of what opened it up, because my mom, she was Romanian Jewish, and her family grew up in New York, and then she ended up moving here. So I think that was interesting to hear what my dad's experience like, because like my dad's experience was very, I would say a little more privileged, in terms of being so ingrained in academia,
yeah,
and kind of, more science bent. Like, it's almost like they were at that point not very, when he was growing up, not very religious, but more into academia and science. And
yeah,
that's kind of, I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, that's kind of how I've kind of seen some of the Jews that came here earlier, like, have assimilated into being Jewish and, you know, like, kind of humanism. So
interesting.
Yeah, so they celebrate holidays, but they don't really, like, you know, they also celebrate, you know, secular halt things. You know, he celebrated Christmas, like, not as, yo, like, a weird...
we have to that'll be its own conversation,
because, like, I didn't celebrate Christmas, yeah, like, they had gifts,
like, on Christmas, like, they would exchange, yeah, gifts, like, around, like, not related to Hanukkah, like, very much like in the spirit of Christmas,
like, not like, because I guess Christmas here, like, back then everybody didn't want to feel left out, and so maybe it was more of a consumer holiday. So, well, like,
that's the thing, though, I heard about, like, people I met who are from LA, they do, yeah, like, it's kind of lighthearted, but it's funny, because if you were to, like, when I heard that, I became, like, all of a sudden this most, like, not, like, conservative and, like, politically, but just, like, I felt, like, so, like, oh my god, like, mm-hmm, how can you, how, mm-hmm, like, how dare you, like,
mm-hmm, yeah. And so that's way more common, like, you know, and on the East Coast, and, like, especially, like, in, yeah, the New York area, New England area, like, you can get the day off for, like, a Jewish holiday and stuff, like,
yeah,
and it's harder here, because, you know, there's just not as much awareness, there's not,
right,
as much,
like, right,
generations, and I think it's impacted by the generations that have been here, like, there hasn't been that many generations of Jews here, you know, maybe in, yeah, the past 100 years, so, like, people are still... It's not institutionalized.
I got you.
I don't know. It's not, yeah, very, very institutionalized here. So, yeah, it's just very interesting. Like, celebrating Christmas, like, here, like, that is what happened. And so I feel like a lot of the Jews here are kind of more hidden. Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of Jewish spaces, like whether that be like University Hillel's, like, you know, I went to a high school that was predominantly, not predominantly Jewish, but it was like next to a temple. So like they were kind of affiliated with being Jewish. So yeah, there was
like
more
Jewish adjacent, you'd say.
Yeah, Jewish adjacent. Anyway, being brown, being in Seattle and Jewish was interesting because it's like, I'm, you know, Seattle's also very white. And so it's like when you're introducing yourself, people have this idea of me that's kind of, it's like, oh, you're brown, like maybe you're Catholic, and maybe, you know, I was adopted, you know, that's very, it seems like it would be like the go-to, like, oh, I'm gonna assume that you're this. But then
right
when I was younger growing up, it was interesting because I would be like, no, like I was very staunch on like being like, I'm Jewish. And as I've got older, it's like, okay, do I like say that? Like, do I say like, you know, cause I'm very proud of being Jewish. And
yeah.
So I guess, you know, it's made me, because I'm not around as many Jews who are like, I definitely want to stand out, like, and let people know that I am Jewish.
When you're dealing with just these exchanges with people, did you feel like, or I'm wondering how you make sense of it now, if it was like for other people to prove something to them, and at what point maybe you're proving it to yourself, like how, you know, the kind of that back and forth, like how did that kind of, how did you navigate that?
I think it's like an inner dialogue. It's like, we're trying to prove to others who we are, that we exist. And then at the same time, it's like, we're questioning ourselves, like, do we exist? Because it's like, are we, and it brings up all these feelings, like, it's like, am I inferior because people don't really know, like, about being Jewish or about the fact that there's brown Jewish people out there. And I think that it's really helped to be in connection with other people that are like that. And I think that, you know, reading about it, like being connected to organizations has really helped that. And I know this is really random, but when Drake became famous, I was like, oh my God, it's a brown Jew. And I know he, you know, he didn't live in Seattle, but he was like, you know, he was from Canada. And
yeah,
like, being from Seattle, which wasn't very a known place, like, honestly, like in 2009, like people were still starting to get to know Seattle.
Yeah.
And like, he was Canadian and he was Jewish and he's brown. I felt like, I mean, I wasn't famous or like a famous rapper, but like, I felt like, I was like, okay, like, you know, you can be associated with all those things and still be absolutely relevant to the world. And
like, you're leaving that impression on people, and that's enough evidence if they need the evidence, which they shouldn't at this point. Yeah, like we've always been like multinational, multilinguistic, like multi-ethnic, like that's always been true. But I still think like your identities and your experience, and then people will know, yeah, there, like, she exists, there she is.
And also I want to include, I think people are kind of a shyer up here in the Pacific Northwest. They're a little more passive. So they're like, oh, I don't want to offend you, or I don't want to, you know, and that's what I kind of like about New York. Cause it's like, people are straight up, like, even though it might be like, but yeah, what I've had to deal with is a lot of like, the most direct thing is probably a microaggression. Like, you know, oh, that's interesting that you have, like, you know, they'll put in some comment about me. Like, I've never seen that before. And it's like, okay.
What's like some of the notable microaggressions that still kind of play through your mind, or at least the ones you encounter to this day, like the most frequent ones?
I can't really think of anything that's like specific, but like, I think, you know, it's funny. I think I get like, you're Jewish. Like, that's the one.
And it's like the eyes open up.
It's not about curiosity. I get it from my non-Jewish friends a lot, like non-Jewish people, like up in you know, because I went to Western Washington University up in Bellingham, and it's a pretty like liberal arts type of town, and people are like, I don't think they've met, it's like they haven't met a Jew, and it's like they meet a brown Jew, that's the first Jew that they really are friends with.
Mind blown. Mind just combusts.
What's going on?
Impact. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, what's going on? And being Mexican is like a big part of my identity. All my identities are equal, but I just have a different relationship with it. You know, it's like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So. So Amanda, what was it like growing up in New York? Because I know it's not that far from New York City. And how has that impacted your relationship with Jewish, your Jewishness? And is there any unique experiences you feel like you had?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting because, like, when people think about what it means to be Jewish, sometimes they don't realize they're actually thinking about very specific New York Jews or very specific Ashkenazi New York Jews or literally things that don't, like, things they've just seen in movies, like, or the stereotypes, or I don't know. And then sometimes I think people just say, like, there's just something Jewish about New York, even if you're not Jewish.
So, there is.
Like, I don't know. And then maybe it's
intellectualism,
Yeah, pizza. I don't.
No, pizza's Italian.
People complaining. Something's a little bit Jewish about pizza. I mean, as an Italian Jew, it's like there's something about little Jewish about Italians too. Like, it's
there really is something Jewish about Italian.
You know, so there's really like, there's really blurry lines about what's Jewish, what's not, what's New York, what's not. But but for me, one of the things I kind of describe as an experience that felt kind of ironic about specifically growing up in Rockland County is that it's associated with like being super Jewish because there's a huge Orthodox Jewish population in Muncie, one of the biggest outside of like Brooklyn. It just so happens that I didn't grow up there. I grew up like at the northern tip of Rockland, in North Rockland, where parts of it could remind you, you know, a little bit maybe of the Deep South, you know, just like very much like football and churches are like staples. Oh. And like I've worn the badge, proudly or not, of being kind of that token Jewish friend, or just like that one Jewish person in a classroom, or like that was very much a familiar experience to me. It got to a point where I think that I felt so disconnected from having like a Jewish community in the ways I imagined other people would have. It always felt like a fight to make it clear of like me needing a day off or explaining maybe certain traditions to people. And I think all of that floating around made me very self-conscious about being Jewish and not wanting to show that. But then also like a lot of my experience, like the way I understood my Judaism was that it was usually being shared with non-Jews. And I think I saw the beauty in that, besides, you know, the impacts of assimilation and what that meant of like what was actually for myself. But as a whole, it was definitely complicated, I think, growing up like in a place where there just wasn't a lot of other people that reminded me of myself that I could be in community with.
And we create community in a lot of different places. And I think like we have to make things work, even if we're not surrounded by people that share, you know, our beliefs or identity, you know. I was wondering, like, did you share the fact that you were Jewish, like with some of these people that you were in writing club with, or like maybe your friend group?
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Totally. I mean, I think people who were like, I think it was usually well known that I was Jewish, even if like in certain settings, I think it was just a matter of how I talked about it, but I couldn't escape it because I guess because of my features, like whether people said it or not, like I did get deemed the Jewish friend or like the cute little Jewish girl, like in that was in someone's life. And so I think there was like excitement and curiosity about it, but I felt like as long as I packaged it, like I made sure it was like funny and cute. And like Hanukkah and you get invited to my bat mitzvah, like if I made it fun, then yeah, like people in my life, I think they knew that about me. I think within the writer's club, that was more of a vulnerable space. So there was like one poem I ended up doing about Jewish identity. I felt fortunate that there were certain people that were genuinely curious and they made me feel supported. And at the same time, there was also friendships where like they were, yeah, like they just wanted to check off the like the Jewish friend box. and I could, and I was able to tell later on that like I was their only reference point for what a Jewish person looks like. So I did feel this pressure that I had to like convince people that Jews didn't have horns in their head. And like, you know, so I felt this extra obligation to be like extra good and extra like explaining things. And, but yeah, I mean, no one was asking me how I felt about God. No one was asking me about the complexities of my Jewish identity. Like, no one seems to care about that. It's just, we want to know you're Jewish, and then they're satisfied to know that much about you.
Interesting, because like it's like people are like, oh, you're Jewish, they have no idea what that is, like they don't, but they know it's different, they know it's, they see it in the movies, like they see,
right,
you know, as comedy, it's
like Fiddler on the Roof, I don't know, like I don't know what they,
and maybe they think it is, it's a choice, or maybe it's just their identity, maybe they just don't know, are you born Jewish, like, and maybe they don't know like that there's other things that come along with that, including like being raised Jewish and like what that brings, and like what your parents teach you about it. And
well, it reminds me of like those statements of like, I'm Jewish, but like insert, I'm Jewish, but I'm not religious. I'm Jewish, but it's only cultural. I'm Jewish, but not really. But I think like tying back to before about like choosing Judaism, if it's a choice or not, I'm curious for you, if there was a moment or experience where you felt like you chose Judaism, because I think there is a level of this of like when you're born into it or like raised with it or things that are given to you from family, from like things that you didn't necessarily choose at a whatever the timeline began.
I think when I chose Judaism, I really think, I don't think there was one moment, I think it was multiple moments, because I've been thinking about this a lot, you know.
Absolutely.
I think it was really like, I really want to keep this tradition alive. Like, you know, from learning from my grandparents, like what it meant to them, like what different, you know, doing the Seder, like doing like different, you know, cooking was a big, I mean, I know that people are like, oh, incentivizing. It's like, oh, you eat the food, you know, whatever, but like, you know, but it really did like connect me to this world of like, because I didn't have I wasn't friends with a lot of other Jewish people like growing up. And so like, for me, I'm like, okay, well, I feel like even though I have all these internal conflicts, you know, with being Mexican and being, you know, like Jewish and like people thinking that I wasn't Jewish, like I felt like I had to represent myself. And, you know, I was, wanted to make sure that like it lived on, because I noticed my parents weren't as observant, you know. My mom grew up conservative, my dad grew up, I don't even know what, humanist. So like, so I think that really, I was like, okay, I have to like do this for the family. And they never had any influence. In fact, they were like, but I knew I was going to get a bat mitzvah. I knew I wanted a bat mitzvah. And maybe part of that was like, you know, because I was adopted, part of that, and I was like, okay, I have to prove to myself that I can do it.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's another complex conversation that like, you know, deals with like internal racism and stuff. But, I think that question really did like, made me reflect on like, did I choose Judaism? I think I chose to be proud of being Jewish, but I don't think I actually like chose Judaism as like a religion. Like I think it was just more like, I'm going to choose to be proud of my identity,
being
Jewish. So it, for me, it's a little less religious, and I definitely want to head there. I think like I'm at the point in my life where it's like, okay, I think I'm ready to choose Judaism as my religion. But I mean, I think at that point in my life, I really just wanted to choose to be happy with who I was, and I was like, okay, I'm determined to be proud of being Jewish. That was like my thing. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna like know what I'm saying, because like, you know, I have to explain to people what it is. And I think that really happens when you have a bat mitzvah. You know, you're showing to not your family and non-Jews and your school and whatever, that you spent like a long ass time like studying. I mean, you spent like at least a year, you know, going to tutoring and going like 3 times a week to the temple.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
And yes, it is a factory. It is, you know, you get your people. It's like,
people, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Because the thing about it, the whole, at least in Seattle, the whole, and a lot of other places, I'm going to be honest, probably Los Angeles too, the whole idea of it, at the end, you work really hard, you get a party, and then you don't really go back. And that's what I did, and a lot of other people did.
No, that was same for me. Like, some people get confirmed, but I mean that was same for me. Like that was my last big marker in within a traditional, like within the synagogue community. And then some people go on to be confirmed, but that was the end of the line, I guess. Like
And I guess I should have stayed. I wish I stayed for confirmation. I just felt like for me, that was my like goodbye to middle school. Like, and that really was for me, because it's a transition to adult, you know, not adulthood, but you know, transitioning out of being, you know, a young child. And I feel like for me,
becoming a woman powerful. Or whatever that means.
Becoming a woman. And it really, because you're really working at it, and you know, you do this whole speech in front of people.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, that's not going to change you completely, but it's definitely going to, you know, you are secure. At least when I had my bat mitzvah, I was like definitely secure that like I was like Jewish, you know, I tried my hardest. It's like there's sometimes we take things for granted, like, oh, we grew up in a Jewish community, and it's like, oh, of course I'm Jewish. But like, you know, people who want to convert, they have to study for hours, and they'll get denied like 4 times, 4 or 5 times. Like,
no, absolutely,
it's a privilege to be Jewish, because it really is, and you still have to work at it, you know.
Yeah, no, I love that you brought that up, because that in like just it makes me think of like my grandmother who actually converted, and she's the reason why I felt like I needed to choose Judaism over again, or at least I love the way you put it. It's like I felt like I had no choice but to do something with my Jewishness, because otherwise I ignore it and carry guilt for all the generations.
It'll die
with me. Who wants to hold that pressure that this all these beautiful traditions and culture and sayings, everything is just going to end with you? I don't want that on my.
Yeah, me either. It'll be on my kids.
Yeah, save that for the next generation. It's not gonna be on my watch, at least. But I decided that because I realized how much work my grandmother, and this was more specifically, so her name was Ann Peckler, and she's the Italian Jewish one who came from this big Italian Roman Catholic family. Ooh. And they were living in the Bronx, and she was one of nine. They're all living right next to each other on the same block.
Yeah.
And she, at that point, there was no really reform movement. So when she converted to marry my Russian grandfather, Russian Jewish grandfather, it was what we understand as like an Orthodox Jewish conversion process. That was the only option. She truly chose Judaism because literally she's coming from a family where like that was really huge for her to make a decision like that. And I think there's all kinds of stories and jokes about how they weren't totally comfortable with it. Like there's an aunt, one of her sisters in secret, baptized my father and his brother just in case.
People do that a lot. Like, you know, they'll take them and go.
That's a whole other conversation. But like, so basically it's like it was a really big decision and a big undertaking she did to do this. And this was before she married my grandfather. So she did all this. And even then it still technically wasn't enough, quote unquote, in the eyes of like her in-laws, like the parents. And so I think at that point she was probably like, fuck it, I'm just going to embrace this. And she basically was the most proud. Like, she wore this big chai around her neck. Yes. Like, she wore that. I have that. A chai. Yes. And so she wore it so proudly. And I think, like, what, so I actually never met her, but she died exactly a month before I was born, like a day or two apart. And so it's kind of said also, I kind of carry on her spirit. Like, there's a lot that we have in common.
Oh my God, yes.
So I think I always felt this connection to her. And I think it was because of her that I decided, I got to a point where I was done being apologetic and shameful about something that actually was very sacred to me and important and deserving of me to really dig into it. And I know, and I think this is where I have the utmost respect, and I wish they wouldn't get so much shit, because literally they get
so much shit.
But the joke is, like, they usually know way more about the Torah and actual teachings than those of us who just, like, didn't have to do anything. Here we are, we're Jewish. So I think that's why, like, I'm so proud that, like, my pride and my Judaism came from the fact that when you go through my lineage, like, the person, one of the people I feel most connected to was someone who did convert, because I think that's Jewish as ever, the fact that she made a Jewish home. Mm-hmm. And she made my dad, it was really important to my dad that we really, like, hold on to it and don't let things get watered down.
Why did we want to start exploring Jewishness, you know, in terms of a conversation like this? We talk a lot about what being Jewish is, and does our Jewishness mean mm-hmm. that we're more inquisitive of the world? Does it mean we're, you know, practicing certain rituals? Does it mean that we're, like, publicly identifying and publicly displaying our Jewishness? And I think it's really an important topic to really talk about.
I mean, when people ask me, it's like, Jewishness is bound up in my existence. It's not just a religion. It, you know, we're a tribe, we're an ethnic group.
It's not a monolith. Some people can be Jewish but not religious, and they can still practice rituals, but they don't have to believe in God, whether that's tradition, whether that's your connection to, you know, the Torah, like, that's up to you.
No, I love that. No matter what my relationship is with Hashem or God, or, you know, like, I could still be so Jewish without maybe necessarily being whatever someone else decided what being Jewish should look like or should feel like.
Yeah.
We're still exploring what these things mean to us, and that's going to keep evolving. And it's definitely important that we get to be in conversation with other people that are curious or haven't asked themselves these questions.
Original music composed by Marnie Loughlin. You can find their original and covered music on TikTok, SoundCloud, and Instagram, under the handle @singing_Jewess.
Thank you all so much for listening to our interview. Before we go, we just humbly ask that you show some love for this podcast production by downloading it wherever you enjoy your podcasting. And if you want more chutzpah, healing, and all those things sacred, hilarious, and complicated within the Jewish community, we welcome you into our digital home via Instagram, @House of Neshama. Please follow and like us over there. We have some exciting posts that we would love to share with you, and more updates to come. All right, everyone, stay tuned, and until next time, bye.